T-minus just 4 days till the beginning of the 2024 New England Patriots football season. The tides of anticipation are swelling. Can you feel it, Pats people? See, that was the part where you guys were all supposed to be like, hell yeah. And then, like, it feels like the headphones are going to pop out of my ears. And Andy Hart's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. We're doing it. We're finally doing it. And today, we're doing it live. Well, sort of. You'll see. Hey, folks, welcome back to the latest and always greatest edition of, that's right, Six Rings and Football Things, brought to you by your friends at Odyssey, WEEI, and 2400 Sports. We got a jam-packed midweek spectacular for you, as you should and would come to expect, with Fitzy and Hart live on the mics today. We have, A, our predictions for the upcoming 2024 season, record, rookies of the year, MVPs, bust, disappointments, and everything you would come to expect and need to hear from your old pals, Fitzy and Hart. We'll do a quick Pats parade to tidy up and do a nice little cleanup in Isle Patriots on all the other news, notes, nuggets, and rumblings that are going on in Pats Nation. And then at the end of the pod today, Andy sits down. Maybe he stands up. I don't know. It depends on how they feel like doing it.
Andy, can you tell the difference? Oh.
Andy talks with our old pal, Mike Giotti, from do we say Boston Sports Journal, but do we also say hi Mike, we miss you, pal. You can also chime in if you're watching live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, etc. We have so many different ways, so many wonderful ways to consume the program. Giardi's with Boston Sports Journal, but do we say, like, from the Rich Shurtleff show, do we say from ZLX
for now?
He's all over the place. Well, everything in the, geez, shots fired this early in the pod, Andy.
Hey, listen, I now live the uncertainty of the radio world. So, you know, we're all standing on eggshells or, you know, lily pads that are about to sink under the water. Who knows?
That's all right. Listen, you know, no fate but your own. You decide how this should go today and every day and in the afternoon. It's a lot of talking you got to do, my guy. If you thought you were sick and tired of the Patriots and the Boston media market audience at large before, we welcome you. And don't forget, folks, Sunday, live right after Patriots versus Bengals, the Six Rings and Football Things live postgame show on WEEI and WEEI.com, and a special bonus this season for all road games. Fitzy and Hart will come to you with a live, uncensored halftime show. That's right. 10 minutes of infuriated, frustration-filled, F-bomb-lit. Well, it depends on how the game goes. Whatever you guys want to say, we'll be there for you with a live halftime show and, of course, the best post-game show in town, live on WEEI and all of our socials. All right. First question right out of the chute. Nicholas Colito, he's watching on Facebook. Are we making a Pat Suck IPA this year? Andy, yes. We probably should. I have not collaborated with any of our fabulous local breweries on a beer for this upcoming season. Depending on how it starts and knowing how long it takes for IPAs to mature in the tank, if the Patriots are as bad as we think they might be or struggle the way we think,
how about a sour?
You know, one of those, like, a double puckerer.
Yes. Oh, yeah. A double puck. This is going to be a double pucking season.
Well, maybe we should also wait until Drake May finally takes over as QB1 of the NEP, because maybe we'll want to release two, like a sour for the start, but maybe something sweeter for the finish.
I like a sweet finish.
That's what he said. And that is a perfect segue into segment one of today's Six Rings and Football Things. Ta-ta-ta. The 2024 New England Patriots season predictions, awards, and as it says on my show rundown, ETC period. I didn't know if he plays for the Patriots, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's Andy, a left tackle. I hope he's a left tackle.
Honestly, I'll give him a try at this point.
Sure.
All right, let's go with, so right now we're just going to do our predictions for the record of the Patriots, who we think will be the offensive and defensive MVPs, the biggest bust, the biggest surprise, and also, let's get it officially and finally on the record when we think Drake May takes over.
In the record.
Yeah, in the record.
Yes, the record on the record.
The record on the record.
Right.
And also Drake, yes, and when Drake May takes over. Okay, so let's begin, Andy, with the Patriots record on the 2024 season. Now, I don't know if anyone needs us to run through the schedule. You guys have probably already looked over it time and time again. I would just like to remind everybody, Warren Sharp from @SharpFootball has done an updated NFL strength of schedule. The five easiest schedules so far, Andy, as we kick off the season Thursday night and this coming Sunday, Falcons, Chargers, Bengals, Jets, Bears. I believe four, if not all five of those teams are going to be playoff teams. However, I also believe, there we go. We have got more predictions right there. Nicholas Colito, 7 wins, 10 losses. All right. Good to have you on the record, kid.
Seven?
The five hardest schedules. And I don't think, yeah. Notice you didn't say that with the Joe Castiglione. Seven.
Nope.
Or like, no. Like the Joker, like seven. Seven. We're walking that one back, guy. Nope. It's okay. It's the internet. No one.
Now is the time to believe. Now, right now, as of Sunday, when you get, if you get kicked in the balls by Joe Burrow and company, it's going to be harder to argue seven. Now is the time. You know, I say this every year. Now is the time when you're supposed to be overly optimistic and have hope. Now, I don't necessarily qualify for that, but this is the time where fans everywhere should be like, why not us? Why not now? Ooh, 5-12. We're dropping fast.
Marcus Hanna watching live right now on YouTube. I better hear seven wins or else you'll be in my notebook. I don't want to make the list, Marcus. Jeez, I'm already on enough shit.
Put me on the list in bold. Caps. Bold.
That's why we love you, kid. You're not afraid to make the list. The five hardest schedules in Warren Sharp's recalibrated 2024 NFL strength of schedule, based on his Vegas forecasted win totals, 28 Titans, 29 Browns, 30 Vikings, 31 Steelers, and coming in dead last with the hardest schedule in the NFL, your New England Patriots. Mm. Andy, to what do we owe the fate of the New England Patriots, the team that probably has the least talented roster, also having the most difficult schedule? Is this retribution and payback for how great and grand it was in Pat's Nation? Or is this just the way the cookie crumbles, the dice rolls, and, you know, shit hits the fan?
Well, my old pal Paul Perillo used to always say that for significant periods of time, the Patriots as an organization had a horseshoe, a lucky horseshoe up their ass, their collective ass. I think the horseshoe has been pooped out and gone. The lucky horseshoe is gone, because when you get last place games on your schedule that include Joe Burrow's Bengals and Justin Herbert's Chargers, it's just unlucky. And you happen to get the Bears, who have, you know, the best chance maybe at a Houston-like turnaround, worst to first kind of thing, best quarterback. So that's three games right there that sway the schedule in a more difficult direction than probably would be expected of a team that had the third overall pick in the draft. So, yeah, there's a little bad luck right there. But if we're going to be honest, like, they're not very good. So, you know, almost regardless of who they play, it's a tough schedule. Like, unless they played Carolina 17 straight weeks, they have a tough schedule.
Would you rather, New England Patriots fans, watch the Patriots play this schedule or the Carolina Panthers 17 straight weeks? 617-779.
Not a terrible question. Might have to pull it out late in a Thursday afternoon.
I was going to say, you might be hearing this tomorrow on WEEI's afternoon program. Baltimore Fats watching live on YouTube. My motto since 1980s has always been, they're winning them all till they ain't. You may want to adjust that one till they're winning them all in my mind, because they probably ain't. But hey, to each his own. That's why we watch and they play the games.
They're losing them all because they're taint.
It's actually a pretty good, that's a pretty good spin of phrase right there. Man, you got some market 10 talent right there, fella. Oh, all right, the predictions are coming in live on the Facebook and YouTube for everyone who's watching live as we record this, of course, for our friends on the Six Rings podcast. Andy, let's just get it out right now. Each of us, our prediction for the record of your 2024 New England Patriots. I know you have flirted with 6 wins most. 0 wins has been on the table. We have called it the heart-o-meter here on the Six Rings pod. But now I'm going to hold you to it. Feet to the fire, kid. What do you got?
Okay. So I do believe that 0 wins is in play. As much as people want to tell me I'm a moron for thinking 0 wins are in play, although the group supporting me has grown in recent weeks, I'm going to say 2-15, and then I'm going to duck as something comes through the computer to hit me. It is what it is. I think they're a bad football team with a tough schedule, and there's no, I think we went through it in a previous podcast where when I really stretched, I saw 7 quote unquote winnable games. Mm-hmm. That feels strong to me. And I just think in the end, they're a team with very limited talent that will probably have more limited talent as the season rolls on, because injuries happen. So 3-14, Jeff Stenberg, I think that's in play. 0-17 is in play, but I'll go 2-15 as the official Andy Hart schedule prediction.
Okay, our friend Jeff Stenberg, a regular here on the Six Rings, live 3-14. Congratulations, Will Campbell. You're a New England Patriot. Listen, I'll tell you, after the college, I know that's been Andy's pick, the left tackle of the future. There are some other tackles, linebackers, edge rushers that could enter the equation. Haven't heard a lot of quarterback talk for next year, which concerns me, because I want, if the Patriots are going to suck out loud and be a top three pick, I'm going to want them to trade it more likely than not so they can get more capital. And it concerns me on a daily basis. With Drake May not starting, it's like, well, the Giants wanted to give you a brand new roster overall, period. And you said no, only so we could start Jacoby Brissett. Let's hope that plan makes sense, Mr. Mayo. All right, so we've got 2-15 from Andy Hart. Okay,
let's go, Mr. Optimism. Let's go.
All right, you guys ready? Ladies and gentlemen, the New England Patriots will be the best darn 5-12 team in town this year. They will finish just over the Vegas win prediction total of 4.5. I'll see 5 wins on the season. I think they come out of September 1-3. And then all they got to do is get 4 wins between the start of October and early into 2025. Which games those wins will come in, I'm not entirely sure. I think they can win the Colts game. Maybe they can go 2-4 in their own division. Potluck later on. And if Drake May and some of the rookies are able to, A, stay healthy, B, catch a little bit of fire, and C, play behind something that resembles a semi-consistent offensive line, I think 5 wins is possible. More importantly, though, as we've talked about time and again, we need to exit this season, A, with our quarterback of the future, B, some actual gosh darn playmakers on offense, and C, a football team overall that has not sold the farm, you know, tossed away their cleats or their shoulder pads, Corey Dillon style, taken off their entire outfit and pulled an Antonio Brown and run through the end zone of the Meadowlands, waving goodbye to everyone come November. We need to see that this football team, thanks to the guidance and coaching of Mayo, AVP, Covington, and all, is actually ready to compete with reinforcements next season, Andy. Do you think that, more importantly than the 2-15 or the 5-12, do you think that is possible or on the table?
100%. I firmly believe we could be raving about Drake May, Christian Gonzalez, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk. I think I'll even throw in Laydon Robinson and Caden Wallace for people that are lusting maybe for a little offensive line hope. I think that is very possible that in a 2-5 win season, wherever it lands there, Warren Ladd, I see 2-3, hammer the under at 4.5, all of these things. In the midst of that, I do think we could come up. And if you add that group to a Kyle Duggar, a Jabril Peppers, some of, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, Mike Onwenu, now all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, do we have like 10 or 12 starters that I really like? Are we cutting into the hole of talent on this roster and heading into a draft with a high pick? So, yes, I think that is way more possible than winning 7 games.
All right, guys, come on. Let's be nice in the comments live. Mr. Stenberg, we cannot be saying that we wish injury or ill upon other people, no matter how much ayahuasca they consume, how many darkness retreats they take, or how many bizarre McAfee conversations and politically critical diatribes they go on. Let's just focus on our team and wishing no ill will on other teams.
Pretend you're a parent, because they always sell parents like you should only really cheer specifically about your own kid, like good or bad, like just otherwise it's like, good job, boys. Good job, team. Let's go. Whatever your team is. Let's do that. Let's focus on the Patriots, pro and con. I'm fine. If you want to shred the hell out of your team, they are your child. You are invested. Yes. You are tied to the Patriots, but let's just let the Jets and the Steelers steal and the Colts and all those other teams do whatever they do and be whatever they be.
Jeff Sincotta watching live on the Book of Face. 3-14 is the reality, but at best 6-11, perhaps with some lucky games. Look, I when John Lyons filled in for you earlier in the summer, right here on Six Rings, we discussed how, you know, a lot of times guys like the Bill Barnwells and your Warren Sharps, people that, you know, adhere to the data, I think a little bit more than us, you know, believe in the idea that like every year when you win a bunch of those games, no matter even the roster talent, sometimes there is a little bit of a pendulum swing. And last year, the Patriots lost how many games by one score or less? Like they were involved, like 7 or 8 games were games where they lost by a field goal to 6 points. So if a couple of those go back their way, now I know you have, you know, there's no Judon last year. There was only Gonzalez for 3 games. You did have Barmore, which I think is still probably the most frustrating of all the losses roster-wise. Maybe, just maybe, a couple of them come back their way. All right, another prediction. Jess Dog, watching live on YouTube, she's got them at 5-12. All right, so Andy goes 2-15. I go 5-12. Let's get now to your prediction for offensive MVP, Andy.
I think the offensive MVP has to be Ramondre Stevenson. I think he's going to be the centerpiece of the offense. They have said early and often that they want to lean on the running game, run the ball, play defense. They paid Ramondre Stevenson, gave him the extension early. I think all those signs point to him being a critical factor on this team. Now, obviously, the offensive line has some say in it. If they are absolute horse crap on the offensive line, it's going to be tough for Ramondre Stevenson to do his thing. But if they're horse crap from start to finish on the offensive line, well, quite honestly, it's going to be hard for anybody on offense to do their job. So I'll go Ramondre Stevenson winning your offensive MVP.
Believe it or not, I'm gonna go chalk on this one because you guys have turned me around and made me such a believer in the kid. I'm gonna go with Drake May.
Yes.
I think Drake May, by the time he gets into this game, by the time he gets in there, is he gonna take his knocks?
Yep.
Is he gonna have at least a handful, maybe not a bushel, but a handful of terrible interceptions and pick sixes where he scores points for the other team? Yeah. Sure will. But is he gonna show you some of those up the gut runs, some of those sidearm throws? Some of those flashy laser-guided darts down the field, making you guys feel alive, giving you those touchdown tingles once again. Look at Jalen Polk's hands. Oh, my God, Baker actually caught that one. Hunter Henry, he is a serviceable mid-level waiver wire fantasy tight end. I love this team. And if Ramondre can stay healthy and you factor Antonio Gibson into the passing game like I have so desperately wanted them to for ages, I've already seen a little chemistry with Drake May and all of these cats. So I think he gets in there long enough, early enough to actually make enough of an impact where you say, this is my quarterback, but also this is my current MVP. So I'm going chalk for you on that one, Andy. And that's just not because you are maniac number one.
This is my quarterback. And sadly, this is my offensive line too.
Actually, you know what? Our pal, Los from Los Talks Pats on Twitter, probably the finest of all the aggregators, and curators of Patriots news. He says your offensive MVP, Andy, is somebody I thought you may have gone with, David Andrews, if he holds the line down and can play a whole healthy season. That's not a bad pick, Los.
No, I would say if you went most MIP, most important player, David Andrews would be the guy. I just think, A, it's hard. If we're using like real world logic, when was the last time a center won an MVP award for a team? Probably never.
And or is there a word? I know they do this to start every preseason game. The first preseason game, it's a tradition that they put a special teams player, either the punter or the place kicker, on the cover of the game day program. Now, people always rush to social media and go, Jesus, look how hard times have fallen on Foxborough. They put the friggin' punter on the program. Now, that's a tradition, but people still get their jokes in. However, if your center is your MVP, like, look, the Corey Linsleys of the world in prior days, now it's a Powers Jackson or whoever the new awesome center is, Jason Kelce. You could possibly argue that maybe Jason Kelce was the MVP all those years.
He was the tush and the tush Eagles. Push.
Yeah. That's a good point. Here we go.
We're not doing Bryce Behringer. Don't put that on the screen. We're not voting the punter.
Yep. Nope. There it is. I have to.
Nope.
He's a regular. He's one of our fabulous and finest viewers. He's helping us grow the greatest legion of Patriots talk, analysis, and nonsense in all of New England and beyond. We already have our first MVP for Bryce Behringer. I love it. All right, let's go defensive MVP. Andy, you're up first.
I'm going to go with the newly minted captain. I'm going to go with Jabril Peppers.
You son of a bitch.
I like that he's healthy. I like the style he brings. I like that he's now a captain. I like his honesty. I like his physicality. I like everything about him, and I think he can be a factor. I know we talk about him as a box safety, but like that interception he had against, who the hell was that, where he drifted off into coverage? I don't know. But that interception he had last year, I think Jabril Peppers can be an impact guy in the run game, in the pass rush, and in the pass coverage, and in hurting people, and I like that. So if you're rooting for somebody to hurt Aaron Rodgers, I'm not saying we're allowed to do that. I'm just saying if you're rooting for somebody to hurt Aaron Rodgers, Jabril Peppers might be my guy.
If you remember last week, if you guys didn't get a chance to listen to it, I highly recommend you go back into the archives via the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple Pods, however you consume your awesome football talk. Listen to the DMAC podcast, because He loves him some Pep. They all call him Pep.
Got a little pep in his step,
to say the least.
You know what he does pregame?
What's that?
He gives pep talks.
All right. And once
when he hits somebody, it's called.
All right. I'll be muting Andy for 10 seconds on. He's so mad. He's in black and white on my screen.
Now I got to say it again. When he hits somebody, it's a pep smear.
Oh, that's awful. That was super terrible. But that's okay. No one's listening. So, Devin McCourty talked about how also in the absence of players like himself, Matthew Slater retiring, the void of leadership, or rather there is a deficit of Super Bowl winners and people that were around that were contributors or that wear rings from the double dynastic run. He said, guys like Pep are the ones that you go to in the locker room, that you look to on the field, that are going to carry the water, that are going to carry the aggression, that are going to carry the tone and tempo for this team. And I couldn't agree more. I think this is the easiest pick because he does everything. He hits as hard as any of the defensive linemen. He's better in coverage than anticipated. Like I always like to say, he wakes up every morning and has a bowl of violence with whole milk for breakfast. And then he just gets out there. And it looks like, Andy, here's the thing. Even like he gave us the soundbite of the 2023 season last year, you lucky we ass. Working title for the podcast, because six rings, I'm tired of hearing the jokes about, yeah, it's not going to be seven rings anytime soon. Yeah, no shit, everybody.
True. That's why we named it that. We didn't have any concerns. It was gonna change.
Exactly. We knew we'd be able to hold on to this IP for a while. He looks like he cares. Like he loves football so much. He takes such pride in individual plays, in every tackle, in forcing the issue on a regular basis that you need guys like that. So I'm a big fan. Mark Woods, he's going with Gonzo.
I like the pick. And if that would be probably best case scenario, what you did, if you get Drake May as your offensive MVP and you get Christian Gonzalez as your defensive MVP at the end of this season, it was a great season. It was a developmental, long-term home run win season. And I just want to see more from Gonzo. I just have my doubts. I think he's been anointed something that he might not really deserve just yet. And whereas Peppers, I love the evolution of Peppers coming off the injury, then last year, now leadership. I think Peppers is ready to peak in this team, in this defense. Mm-hmm. My one concern about Peppers is if it goes really bad and the internal vibe is bad, I think he could lose his crap on somebody. Like if somebody's not taking it seriously, like if Javon Baker, and I don't want to pile on the rookie, but let's just say
he did something extremely stupid. Right. Like I'm as the leader of the Javon Baker stand up in your wheelchair fan club, I was extremely disappointed that he was immature enough to go on friggin' Instagram Live and criticize the Mass State Police. Side note, they're the ones that make sure you get in and out of the stadium first. Okay.
You think?
And they take, they do a real good job. They're super like, I've always been complimentary to them. Andy, few things I love more than when I'm talking to people in the lots, crossing the crosswalk when they let the mass of us through, and I hear a couple of them yell out, Fitzy, how are we going to do this season? Fitzy, is today going to be watchable? And I have to try to like say something to keep a smile on there. But you be good to them, they'll be good to you. And for Baker to do that, it's a wrong way to start your freaking season, kid.
Dumbass move. But if others make dumbass moves behind the scenes, I think Peppers is a guy that could blow his top and have to, you know, all of a sudden you're hearing like Jabril Peppers had to be pulled off of Javon Baker in the postgame locker room because the rookie was on Instagram Live or joking about the loss or something like that.
Andrew Pollock says Gonzo becomes defensive MVP. I like Jeff Stenberg's pick. I like Keon White. I miss when this team had guys that played angry. Keon White has resting Belichick face. Like he's always angry, but he's composed. Just don't look for him to be the new Judon. He's going to be Dietrich Wise plus. Let him be who he's going
to
be.
I'm not sure he's plus. I think he needs to earn the right to be Dietrich Wise plus. Right now he's Dietrich Wise backup.
Los talks Pats. Peppers and Duggar remind me of the meme where the boyfriend looks back at the girl that walked by. Duggar is being neglected and not being talked about enough as their best defender. Agree or disagree, Andy?
I'll disagree. I still think he's a liability in coverage, and other teams are going to be throwing the ball a lot, and that liability could be picked on by other teams.
And yet sometimes he comes through with that sweet pick six like he did against Derek Carr in Vegas against the Raiders. All right.
He caught the ball that was thrown right to him, not exactly making a play.
All right, your pick, Andrew Hart for Patriots Rookie of the Year. That covers both offense and defense. This just in, there's only one rookie on defense.
Well, I'm not going to pick.
There's two.
Marcellus. Dial.
What about the Ximenez?
That was a pick from Jonathan Jones yesterday as like a guy who could wow people, sort of an under the radar guy. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm going to go offense. I think chalk here. I think Jalen Polk is basically a starter. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities. If he stays healthy, I don't think it's crazy to think he could catch 50 plus balls in this offense. I think they're going to give him those chances. And he seems like he gets it. Now, I don't know where his career goes in terms of, oh, number one receiver. Is he worth the pick? Is he explosive? Blah, blah, blah. Does he score touchdowns? But I think for this year, Jalen Polk is going to be the best rookie you have.
Mm-hmm. I love that pick as well. Now, I should probably say rookie of the year for Drake May, because I believe eventually Drake May starts, makes enough of an impact that he's also going to be your offensive MVP. I'm going to throw it to somebody else just because that's a little too easy. So I'm actually going to go with, if some say that David Andrews should be in consideration for your offensive MVP, I'm going to say that I think your rookie of the year on this team is going to be Laydon Robinson.
I love it.
I'm a big enough believer in how much they loved him, how strong he is. Like, there are players that have said they have seen him use his strength, and they said there's football strong, and then there's Laydon Robinson strong. This kid is big and nasty. He's going to need a little time. He needs City So to run into him a little bit less. He needs continuity on the line. But I think absolutely there is reason to believe that Laydon Robinson could be your rookie of the year. Because if you get a mean, nasty guard, don't call him Mankins-like. Let him be who he is. If we get Shaq Mason-esque play, then that's going to be a massive plus for one of the most troubled spots on this Patriots roster, Andy.
Sure. No, I think he's going to get the opportunity to play a lot. And he almost may benefit if there's crappy play around him and people be like, huh, the rookie's not that bad. He's doing a great job as a rookie. I'm looking forward to the mm-hmm. future. He may benefit from low expectations and low performances around him.
All right, your biggest surprise overall, Andy. It could be anything resembling the record, a player, an outcome, a game. Just throw something at me and the Pats audience at large that's going to make us say, wait, I'm sorry, what?
So this is where I'm going to go with my guy. I think in week 5, when Drake May takes over the starting job against the Miami Dolphins, I think Drake May is going to be more cautious with the football or more aware of mistakes than people are expecting. Will there be a pick six? Maybe. But I see a guy that is improved in that area and will continue to improve in that area watching Jacoby Brissett for the first month. So I think the biggest surprise is going to be all these people that said, Drake May's the biggest project of anybody in the draft and he needs to sit for 2 years, Dan Orlovsky, and you can't put him out there until X, Y, and Z. I think Drake May is going to look like a truly competent, capable, professional quarterback with a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio right out the gates, despite a crappy offensive line, despite all the questions around him. Drake May is going to stun people, not with just his playmaking, because I think people have come to see that and accept that he can make some plays. He's not going to make the mistakes that a lot of people are projecting when he gets in there in week 5.
I like it, and I like it a lot. I agree. I don't think he's going to go out there and look like he's scared. I'm scared, and nope. He doesn't belong, and that the moment is too big for him, and the Patriots whiffed, and they should have taken the capital offered by the Giants. I agree. I think he's going to look – he'll look the part, and he's going to be pro-ready. This is not a homer pick. This is more a belief that the Patriots are going to read every clipping, like the one at NFL.com where they had all the possible division winners, playoff teams. Only 3 teams got 0 mentions for all of those variables and permutations. The Colts, the Giants, and the Patriots. No playoff whiff, no chance to win a division, nothing. The rest of the world is picking them as having the top pick in the draft next year. Mm-hmm. Everyone says this team sucks and it sucks out loud. They are going to funnel and channel all of that into their gameplay over at least the first half of the season, or at least until Drake. They'll do the best they can emotionally and physically until May comes in and brings in, I'll call it the emotional reinforcements, Andy. My biggest surprise is that the Patriots do not get blown out in any game in September. I think they'll be at least in and they'll hold their ground in all these games. More than 10 points. I think the Patriots will be you will be watching all of these games. Now, what's the game?
They pay me.
What's the game? I know, same here. And sometimes I even have to talk about it in front of the people and tell them funny things. That doesn't work out very well. Nope. So to Andy, which game do you believe is the one where they have the least amount of chance to stay in the game or not lose by 10?
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Now, I think there's three of them, quite honestly. I think there's a chance they get blown out in Cincy. There's a chance they get blown out by Aaron Rodgers' Jets. But the best chance they get blown out is in San Francisco. That's why you'll see Drake May in the fourth quarter as he, you know, rolls right into his first start the next week.
All right. TD watching live on YouTube. The biggest surprise is AVP. Numerous times fired and gets hired by Wolf instead of Mayo and will not last a year. What?
You're going to fire the offensive coordinator?
In season?
I don't think that happens. I don't think there's any shot of that happening.
Oh.
But it's a good, it's a surprise. It's a, you know.
Wow. Wow. How about that? Jeez. AVP fired in season. Like, I just need him to groom the quarterback. I'm not worried about having the greatest show on turf. I don't think the Patriots are anything near or resembling that right now, but. All right, Andy, your biggest bust.
I think it's going to be Javon Baker. I think he's going down Bust Boulevard. I think he's put his blinker on. He hasn't really turned down there. I think you're seeing some of the questions that surrounded him coming out of college are going to follow him. He clearly has some emotional maturity issues, let's just say. And not to mention the drop. You know, the Drake May, like the hands aren't great from what I've seen. He doesn't necessarily have that step up to the moment, even on the practice field ability. And I think a lot of people have high hopes, you included, for Javon Baker to maybe be like a future number one receiver, like this crazy. Maybe you got a diamond in the mid round rough. I don't think it's a diamond. I think it's like a piece of poop that got kind of
solidified
in the sun is reflective. I just don't think it's going to go very well with him.
It's not contractual, but I feel like I committed to being so excited for him and about them selecting him way back in April that I can't quite say it, but I'm not going to disagree out loud or put up the biggest stink because he's doing a number of things to already be set and hurt his chances. I think your biggest, so I see it, but I just can't yes and it. That said, I think there's a chance that the biggest bust on this team is not actually a bust. It's just that there's too much hype that he can't live up to in his second season because really it's an extended rookie season for him. I can't see them finishing the season with Christian Gonzalez being a top three cornerback in the NFL. Let the kid just be who he is. He's not going to be a bust.
I agree.
It's just too much hype around him. Like you don't like somebody just mentioned in the comments, like, whoa, Patrick Surtain II just got paid. Yeah. Because guess what? He's been healthy every season. Unlike the J.C. Horns and other cornerbacks that came out in his draft, he is really good, and he has ascended into top five cornerback in the league. Thus, he deserves to be paid like one. Christian Gonzalez, I would almost rather see him hold his ground, not struggle, but, you know, if he has a tough season, but we see that he took his nicks and dings and stayed in for a whole season, and then he's really awesome next year, I'm okay with that. But, folks, let's pump the brakes on putting him in a freaking yellow jacket and having a bronze bust of his beautiful face already in Canton, all right?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a perceived bust. You're right, and it's not his fault. He's going to have a decent season. It's that everybody put the expectation, set the bar way too high for a guy who's played 3.5 games in an NFL uniform.
Yeah. Oh, see, here's a good pick. I don't even know if he's done enough to merit it. Jay Miller watching live on YouTube. KJ Osborne.
What do you
have any expectations? Yeah.
He's kind of just a middling journeyman receiver. I mean, I know they gave him a little bit of money, but truly a little bit of money. He's a veteran guy. I think he'll probably play enough to not be a bust, but won't make enough plays to wow anybody.
And finally, Andy, before we wrap up our predictions, awards, and what such here on Six Rings, when will Drake May get his first start as an NFL quarterback in the National Football League for your New England Patriots?
Week 5 against the Dolphins at home. I've circled that since basically May, and I continue to circle that. I'm a little worried that it could go further than that and be delayed a little bit from sort of rumblings and things I've kind of heard, but I'm not giving up on that. I am still hopeful that week five. I mean, still kind of hopeful that week two is in play, but I don't think that's as likely at this point. So I think week five.
Will we see him in the fourth quarter this Sunday?
For
what they call a little MUD, mop-up duty.
No, because I don't think the Bengals, without Ja'Marr Chase or even with Ja'Marr Chase, I told you earlier, my bet of the year is, if you could find this on any weird sports book anywhere, that either Ja'Marr Chase, Brandon Ayuk, or CeeDee Lamb will pull a hamstring this season. To me, it's a lock of all locks, likely in the first month, maybe in the first 2 weeks. But Ja'Marr Chase's situation, the Joe Burrow wrist situation, I just don't think the Bengals are ready in week one to necessarily just absolutely obliterate you. So you might be down like, I don't know, 27-3, 27-10, 31. And I just feel like they'll be like, yeah, Jacoby's doing fine and he needs the reps. He's the starting quarterback. We're not starting the Drake May train just yet.
I don't want that to be our reality this Sunday. I want that to be a reasonably competitive game. I don't even need Brissett to play that well. I just want to see the line hold their ground, a couple nice runs from Ramondre, a few big hits from Pep. Yeah, and there's a chance. The line, and we'll do our official game preview tomorrow, or rather by week's end. You'll hear a Six Rings Patriots versus Bengals prediction as well, and preview, as well as I'm going to hop on and do an appearance with our friends on It's Always Game Day in Cincinnati, and we'll hear what the Bengals fans are saying about the Patriots and what's going on out in the Queen City. All right, that wraps up our awards, our predictions, the Drake Mays, and everything else that goes into the 2024 season. What do you guys say? Who's going to be your MVP? When do you think Drake May is going to start? And what do you have for a record? You guys have been great as we've been doing this live. Fire your comments at us anytime at Six Rings Pod, at Jumbo Heart, and of course, at Fitzy GFY. Don't go anywhere. We've got a quick Pats Puri, and of course, Andy's conversation with Mike Giardi from Gillette Stadium coming up. All right, Andy, let's move into segment two here on Six Rings of Football Things Midweek, getting ready for week one in the NFL. Let's just tidy up a couple things that have been going on recently in Pats Nation. I want you to react to this. So there's been so much made of Gerard Mayo, and is he in charge? Is he making the decisions himself? He said when announcing Jacoby Brissett that they were sticking to the plan, not the competition. I have decided, like, it's been a mixed, muddled mess. There have been so many mixed messages. So I just want to share this clip of Mayo on the Greg Hill show earlier this week, talking about who's in charge and trying to set the record straight as to exactly how much control he has.
I have the final say with all of that stuff. I do value the opinions of others, and you know, Elliot's opinion is definitely valued. But as a head coach, you know, I have the final say. What's like saying with the quarterback, like from the time we signed Jacoby and drafted Drake, we've had a plan on how to best develop Drake, and we're going to stick to that no matter what happens, no matter, you know, what's being said on the outside. Like, we're going to stick to the plan, and it may not be the most popular plan, but it's the plan that I think is best for the team.
Okay. Wouldn't that have been nice to have heard 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months ago?
Yeah, I thought Gerard Mayo's meeting with the Greg Hill show this week was his best meeting with any media since he took the job. I think if he had said those types of things for the bulk of the offseason from January through now, we would have had a lot less to talk about. It would have been a much smoother offseason. He would have had to clean up less messes and little brush fires. I thought he was phenomenal on Monday, Mayo Monday, on the Greg Hill show. Like, you don't have to like it or even agree with it, but there was a certain credibility in his comments this week, credibility in the plan. We're sticking with it. It doesn't have to be popular. You don't have to like it, but it's what we think is best. I make the decision. I thought he nailed the hell out of that Monday, and maybe he's learning. Maybe that's a sign of things to come and how he's going to handle himself. Even at Gillette Stadium, his first big Wednesday press conference of a game week leading into Bengals. To be fair, this came one day after a terrible hiccup in which he forgot to name Jacoby Brissett a captain when he was listing off the captain. So I'm not willing to say everything is perfect here, nothing to see here, kind of Chef Barbary on South Park kind of thing. But he had one really good one. So let's build, stack them, stack days together on the practice field. He needs to stack meetings with the media together because this was a good one and he can learn from his mistakes and be better moving forward.
Exactly. I just want some consistency in the messaging. That's all. Now we have established Jacoby is your starter. We know who the captains are. They have the most difficult schedule in the NFL, according to most analytics. I just want straight messaging now. It's going to be so hard, though, for a rookie head coach who's taking over for the greatest head coach of all time, who is forced to do things differently, who from ownership and many edicts in the building, has to try to maintain more positive vibes and do things in a drastic difference from Bill Belichick, who we'll get to in just a moment, because, man, that guy is everywhere and he just won't stop talking all of a sudden. You know, it's not fair for a rookie head coach in a lot of ways to now have to not only just try and establish himself, but also answer constant questions about who's starting. Why is this guy starting? Why, when will we see the other kid? Like, are the other rookie head coaches, the Mike McDonalds, the Callahans, are these guys, even Dan Quinn in Washington? I mean, he's named his starter. He's going with Jaden Daniels. So I guess no one's going to be like, when are we going to see Marcus Mariota? Nobody cares about that stuff as much. I mean, it's a lot on Mayo's plate. And I think you're right that appearance on the Greg Hill Show and EEI was a big deal for him.
Yeah. Now he just needs to be consistent moving forward, because we can forget easily about the offseason if he does a good job moving forward. And hell, if they're competitive and maybe even win a game or something in the first four or five.
Speaking of Bill Belichick, Andy, holy smokes. I mean, is there anywhere that you can't hear all of a sudden you couldn't get shit out of him about anything, even and or including regular praise for the greatest football player of all time? I mean, we're not talking about open heart surgery. As Tom Brady's thumb was practically falling off in the AFC Championship against the Jaguars, and he led one of the greatest fourth quarter comebacks in franchise history. Wouldn't give you anything. Yeah, just snots and sneers for decades. And now all of a sudden, he's everywhere. But tell me your level of surprise when you saw this first snippet from the new Coach series on Underdog Fantasy. Full disclosure, hashtag partner, hashtag ad. Well, that's really not an ad, but I help promote them. Anyway, when you saw the new Coach series on Underdog Fantasy, what did you say when you saw who his new co-host was?
We signed a lot of the players that we had, you know, brought there and had there, as they obviously liked those guys. And then, you know, a couple of players that they didn't re-sign.
Well, Bourne re-signing, Onwenu re-signing. Stevenson had a year to go. They extended him. Henry was a re-signing. He's been a solid leader for him. Gottschall, they did, you know, during training camp. Barmore was an extension in the offseason. He does look like he's going to play very much this year. Tavai is an extension. Duggar was a transition player. And Josh Uche. The guy that's not on that list, of course, is Matt Judon.
Yeah, I was stunned. It was like, I said this on the radio yesterday, like a movie where you don't expect a cameo or a certain person, and you're like, oh my God, that's like tremendous. Yeah, but should we be surprised? I mean, he's Belichick's right-hand man. He's out of the NFL. He's unemployed. It's probably not surprising that Bill found a role for him. And it's not just this Underdog thing. He's apparently doing some stuff with the 33rd team. Both of them, Patricia and Belichick, as consultant or helpers.
He cannot have another job. Okay. The pecking order, Bill Belichick has to be, everyone's like, he's the GOAT coach. Is he the GOAT of guys picking up jobs after their coaching career, or when they have had to hit pause in coaching and they're looking for reputation, rehabilitation?
He's the preacher's daughter. He didn't get to bang anybody. Now he's banging everything.
He's on the breakdown on ESPN on Fridays with Peyton Manning, where they preview Monday Night Football. Then on Mondays, he's on the McAfee Show. Then he does the Manning Cast, all 11 games they're going to do regular season. He's the new co-host of the Let's Go podcast with Max Crosby and Jim Gray, brought to you by Macy's. Now he's doing the coach thing, and he's also on Inside the NFL on Friday nights with Chris Long, Ocho Cinco, and Ryan Clark. And now you're telling me he's also going to add consulting to the 33rd team? Yeah. To what's his name?
The 32 teams don't want him, so he said the 33rd team will take me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Andy Hart, even Greg Donahue thought that was funny. Huh? Good one.
My flip of this is
everywhere.
I really don't care. Like, if we're gonna get what we saw from that clip that you played, he read the transaction sheet, and not even in an entertaining way. He didn't even take a shot at himself. They tried to take a victory lap, something they couldn't do together as coaches recently, is take victory laps. They're like, you know, they re-signed a lot of players that we brought in here, so clearly they liked those players. Like, all right, Matt, you did a great job collecting talent. That's why this team won four games last year and is going to win less than that this year. And not even like a self-deprecating, like, well, you know, they cut Devontae Parker, who, Matt, you wanted to trade for. You told me to trade for him from the Dolphins. They're like, that, if there was any of that, I'm glued to it. I'm watching it. I'm enjoying it. So far from what I've seen, it's just, it's dry, as that free cornbread you get at some restaurants. And you're like, this is, oh, now I need a beer. Give me my beer. I'm choking on dry cornbread.
I want the mini cornbread loaves that are like moist, have a little honey on top, or and they go great with an ice cold beer, and they come with the honey butter that's salty. Yep. And like, that's what I want. I want back and forth. Give me Statler and Waldorf pissing and moaning about the NFL and busting each other's chops. I don't need to hear Bill Belichick just, you know, analyzing stuff and saying the same thing you probably hear me say in 17 other portals and outlets. Like, I can't believe this. The season kicks off Thursday night in Kansas City, and for Patriots fans, Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern in the Queen City. I think I've already reached peak analytical Belichick, and it's not even football time.
Carlos, this is a great point that no one's paying attention to. Pop that on the screen if you can, Fitzy, the Carlos comment. I don't know if people are aware, the Hall of Fame Selection Committee and the Hall of Fame have changed their rules. Coaches no longer have to sit out 5 years to go in the Hall of Fame. So Bill Belichick will be, assuming he doesn't return to the sideline this year, he will be a candidate for Canton next August. He could be, and I mean, if he's a candidate on the ballot, I think he has to be. If he hasn't taken a head coaching job by then, I think he's a lock to go in on the first ballot. So, yes. And then if he goes in, if he returns, he could be an active Hall of Fame coach. But, yeah, I don't know if people are aware that next summer, if Bill wants to be, he could be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Now, see, that raises the question, will Bill Belichick like the money that comes with this, the schedule he maintains in this new, more relaxed life where people idolize him for his intellect, acumen, and experience, but he doesn't have to grind out 18-hour days? And then he gets sent to the Hall of Fame next year. Could that prohibit him from wanting to rush back to the sidelines anytime soon? I think that would be very interesting.
Yeah, I do. And some of that is just, does he like it? If he likes this and enjoys the freedom, and we all know the certain freedoms he's taken full advantage of in his private life, and I'm talking about fires and Nantucket and things of that nature, nothing, anything anyone else might be talking about, he might just enjoy it, the relaxation. I watched Josh McDaniels on the Edelman podcast. He's skinnier, youthful looking. It's like, oh, yeah, you get away from coaching. It really does help your overall health.
Yeah, he looked fantastic and sounded terrific. Well, listen, we've covered just about all the ground we need to. You heard about the Javon Baker thing. Oh, captains, my captains, the Patriots announced their captains. I believe it was Dietrich Wise once again, David Andrews, Jacoby Brissett, Jabril Peppers. No surprises in there, right?
No. I mean, there's other guys that could have been candidates. Like, it wouldn't have surprised me if, say, Duggar was a captain or Jonathan Jones was a captain, but Joe Cardona is the special teams captain.
Of course,
that could have been Schooler if you want to go in a different direction and just sort of fill the role held by Matthew Slater for so long.
We're not saying that.
you can read it, people, but we're not.
I also believe she's 24. Let's get it right.
Okay. Yep. She's literally one third of his age, but he has to pay to rent the car. So we kind of covered a little bit everything in the most relevant points with the previous coach and, of course, the current coach as well. Like I promised you, we're going to have a quick conversation between Andy and Mike Giardi to wrap up this fabulous midweek edition of Six Rings and Football Things. The next time you hear us, we will give you our official Cincinnati prediction and preview, as well as chat with our friends in Cincinnati on our Odyssey sister podcast. It's always Game Day in Cincinnati. And hey, you never know. There could be some other bonuses leading up to Sunday. Once again, we'll have a live halftime show, and we want you guys to be a part of it. It's BYOB, as always, and unfiltered, so that'll make it extra fun. And then live on WEEI after the game, the Six Rings and Football Things post-game show with Fitzy and Hart. Great job, Andy, as always. Make sure you guys tune in each and every day to the WEEI afternoon show, where our guy is making us proud 4 hours a time. He and Arcan doing work and doing it well. And hey, if you need to find me, there's a good chance I'll be at a brewery somewhere in the afternoon. Your old pal, Nick Fitzy Stevens, at Fitzy GFY. Good day. God bless everyone. Thanks for tuning in, watching live, and being a part of the best Patriots fan community in the land. And now, to wrap up this fabulous podcast, we throw it to Andy and Mike Giardi.
Six Rings and Football Things back at Gillette Stadium. Training camp is over. This is not a practice recap. This is a season preview.
Ooh.
Each and that ooh you heard was Mike Giardi, friend of the podcast, the first guy in the hot seat here as we begin,
hopefully season long, as long as I stick to it, because I do have another gig now.
Yes.
Of Wednesdays.
You're wicked popular. Congratulations.
I don't know if I'm wicked popular, but thank you. Wednesdays, I expect to come to Gillette Stadium, talk to a different beat reporter who is around the team on a daily basis. Today, we're going to do a little preview of the Patriots season, a little preview of the NFL season with Mike. We're going to start right out the gates. The Patriots' record in 2024 will be?
5-12.
Five? Where are you getting those five from, and how the hell do you see that happening?
So I just don't think they're going to be as horrifically offensively as we think. I think they're going to be able to establish some sort of run game at some point, whether it's right out of the chute or whether it's into the season a little bit. And quite frankly, even though we've seen the flaws of Jacoby Brissett over the last two and a half weeks sort of come to roost again, like, he's not going to be Mac. He's not going to be Bailey.
Sure about that?
Yes.
Did you see that throw?
I feel confident about that.
We forced it to Hooper. It was a pick
Hooper's
six.
Hooper's fault.
See the other throws? One to Thornton. How about the one to Hooper for the third down that he just flat out missed him?
It's not perfect.
Okay.
I
don't want to be a pessimist. You got five wins.
No. Well, I would think the five wins is actually not exactly being high on the football team.
No, but it's over the Vegas. Vegas 4.5. You got the over. I saw one of those random emails you get from these random casinos that want you to promote their stuff. I'm not going to. I'm just going to say the number. I believe the Patriots were the third most bet in terms of money under this offseason. So most money is on the Patriots winning four games or fewer. That's where my money lies. People who are listening earlier in today's podcast heard me predict 2-15. I didn't actually predict 0-17 because it is hard to go 0-17.
Yes.
So I'm giving them a little bit of a buffer there with two wins. And do I think they could squeeze out four, maybe, if all things go right? Yes, just like I think they could squeeze out a big zero turd and go winless on the season.
Well said.
Do you feel better, worse, or the same as you expected to feel about this team now that we are in week one of the regular season as maybe you did when Mayo took over, when they drafted May, when they started the process? Do you feel better, worse, or the same right now?
Slightly worse. I think in the spring, I thought, you know, when they assembled their roster after the draft and free agency, I was like, I think it's a 6-win team, which I think you also mocked me for then.
I did. I'm still mocking.
And then I think there was a point during camp, probably right around the joint practice against Philadelphia, where I was like, this is a 4-win team, max. And then I sort of came back around a little bit just, again, I think the defense, well, they're not going to be a top 10 defense. I think it's going to be impossible without Barmore. And we don't expect him to play this year. You know, I mean, we don't have any official word on that. And obviously trading Judon. I think people have placed unreal expectations on Christian Gonzalez to be this. They already think he's this elite number one corner that should be talked about with Sauce Gardner and Patrick Surtain and whoever else you want to put in that conversation. He's not that yet. So, but I still think they're going to be, call them a top 12, top 14 defense, which I think if they can be semi-competent offensively. I'm not even looking for competent at this point. I think that's where you squeeze out the 5 wins.
So obviously the biggest talking point heading into the regular season is no longer the quarterback in a weird way, because I actually thought Gerard Mayo, after he forgot to include Jacoby Brissett among the captains, a day later on the Greg Hill show on WEEI, I thought had his best meeting of the year with the media, answered questions pretty definitively. I didn't think there were many brush fires.
I have one.
Okay, you got a brush fire. Let me guess. Actually, no, go ahead.
No, so he talked about, we don't want Jacoby to feel like someone's nipping at his heels.
Yeah, that's the one.
But, and I was like, well, but no, right. Stop. Just stop right there and look. We've made a lot about how he has approached his media duties. I think he has been at times honest to a fault.
Yep.
And it's got him in trouble. And he's had to, you know, reel it back in a couple of times. You know, I said I didn't really mean we were going to spend a ton of cash. All those sorts of things that he's done. But I think that was another one where as soon as he said that, he should have just stopped. We're going to talk about Drake, and I'm going to do it in a different part of this this press conference. But right there, right now, hey, Jacoby, don't worry. We got your back. You don't have to worry about anyone nipping at your heels, even though we all know that absolutely Drake May is nipping at his heels.
The only thing I would agree, that was the one thing which pales in comparison to prior mistakes
yes.
he's made. But also, I thought, if my memory serves me right, he kind of generalized it and said healthy stress, and that's really for all players. He kind of Belichicked it and said everybody, yeah, is fighting for their jobs, or everybody has to prove it and keep their job. Mm-hmm. So that would the one out that I would give him there. But I think the biggest question now we turn our focus to, we know Jacoby Brissett is starting. I think the biggest question now is like, so who's playing on the offensive line? Mm-hmm. We've reached a world where Verdarian Lowe not being out there is a problem. And we're just getting lots of cackles in the background here as we tape a live Six Rings podcast here at Gillette Stadium. That the offensive line remains the biggest question, concern. You know, if the line can perform as I think they are hoping Jacoby Brissett performs, that level, this will probably be a better football team than maybe many of us expect. Where are you on the offensive line? What are you expecting at left tackle? I know the depth chart was put out, the unofficial, all caps, underline, bold, unofficial. They want you to make sure it's unofficial, was put out, and they had Chukwuma Okorafor. So we just returned to pre-draft weekend where Elliot Wolf said Chukwuma is the left tackle. What do you expect at left tackle? What is the bar for the line? And could it be one of those cases where we expect so little that they overachieve?
So some of the parts are like decent pieces, like Nwenu is not an all-pro level player, as some people have made the claim, but he's a good guard.
We do that a lot around here.
Yeah, we really do.
That guy's a pro bowler. He never made one. That guy's all-pro, never was.
And also the pro bowl means absolutely jack squat, because Mac Jones made the pro bowl, and he was like the 12th quarterback.
Yeah, except Julian Edelman never did.
Look.
Although they'll tell you he was a 17th injury replacement one year where he didn't play and was replaced later, but he would have been, could have been, should have been. Solid podcast, though. I like his
podcast. So I think Nwenu is a good guard. I think he is passable as a tackle. I think some people feel like he was a good tackle last year. No, he was just better than what you had. And if you have to put him out there, you'll get okay play, but don't expect anything great.
What does he weigh these days?
He says he's 350. I think
in his bra.
I think the claim of him being 80 pounds overweight was typical Mike Lombardi hyperbole. And obviously we know Mike has an axe to grind because his best friend, resource, Bill Belichick, was poop canned by the Patriots. Yep. So there's that. I think David Andrews is still a good football player. Now, how much more does he have left in the tank? I don't know, but I wouldn't bet against David. He's just a tough dude. Sidy Sow is a decent run blocker who needs to improve a lot as a pass blocker, but obviously they felt like he's in, barring health, obviously, which is a problem. I thought Laydon Robinson probably might have been their best offensive lineman for the better part of training camp. So that gives them another piece. And then it really is about figuring out what left tackle is all about. And if you feel like you're average to above average at four of the five spots, which I think I could probably get there.
Okay.
Can't you block around a bad left tackle? I mean, it'll impact your offense some, but it's different than having two problems like they did last year. They had right tackle, left tackle was an issue, right? Like even, you know, for all the PFF grades on Sidy Sow, took Sidy Sow a long time before Sidy Sow was to me, a passable guard in the league. Like we're talking like late November, December. So I think it's not ideal, but I never thought they would fix the three big needs, right? Quarterback, wide receiver, and left tackle. I didn't think they were going to be able to fix
impossible.
Them all in one offseason.
I had a dream, but it was impossible.
Yeah, and especially when you looked at the free agent class of left tackles. So, like, it wasn't even like you could throw your money there. They tried to throw money at Ridley to a certain degree, and we know what happened there. Then the question becomes, did the resources they put into the wide receiver position in the draft, are those guys going to be worth it in the long run?
Right. So a lot of questions there, things to touch on. Just the left tackle spot, I've come to believe that may be Elliot Wolf's biggest mistake. Forget the name, because there's not a lot of options and names out there. I think the run in the draft affected some things at the left tackle position before they were able to swing back around, potentially. Jonah Williams, I do think if you had Jonah Williams, you'd be better off right now. He's an NFL left tackle.
That was the one I would have done.
I don't know how I missed this. I didn't realize he signed basically a two-year, $30 million contract for a team that has a boatload of cap space, short-term deal. You could have had him here for 1 year as a starter and then, hell, an overpaid backup for a year.
Exactly.
So that contract, but to me, just the bigger issue was not getting a left tackle. This idea that a right tackle can be a left tackle, whether he's a college right tackle, Chukwuma Okorafor right tackle. So to me, if you're going to criticize Elliot Wolf, maybe it's not the specific names. It's just get a left tackle. Don't get project, because projects generally don't work out well.
I wrote about that at the time.
Brag.
I talked to people,
Peter King or Mike Giardi we're talking about? That's what I wrote today.
Well, there are people around the league that felt like they got caught with their pants around their ankles when the tackle started to run in the 50s, right?
So there are people in the media corps that have their pants around their ankles when they go to the bathroom. I'm leaving that alone.
Let's not touch that. Kingsley Suamatea. I can't pronounce his name.
Yep.
He's like someone and they sort of like waited too long, and then all of a sudden it was like, okay, well, the best tackle on the board left is Caden Wallace, and even though he's a right tackle, maybe some of the footwork would play at left tackle, and that's how you end up with a situation where, hey, look, he might be a really good right tackle, but that's not what you tried to sell us on.
Okay, so you sold me on a positive there, because in a previous podcast, I used sort of the analogy of a car, where you're like, yeah, the 4/5 of the offensive line is good, and I'm like, yeah, a car with 3 wheels doesn't go anywhere. But you just maybe sold me that they have that little donut spare. It's mm-hmm. You can't go far, and you can't go fast. But you can move. You can get home. You can go pick your kids up, and then you call AAA.
Not
and
a
try.
Complete disaster.
Right. You didn't crash. You didn't flip six times and end up in the ditch on the side of the road. Okay, so you spun me on that. So the Patriots, I feel like you're a little more optimistic than I am at 2 wins. You got 5 wins. Let's go into the entirety of the NFL, because I do think this is our little preview podcast. We got Thursday night football. We got Friday night football. We got a full slate of games. So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to throw some teams at you. Of the teams that I include, San Francisco, Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Detroit, mm-hmm. The Jets, Houston, I think all teams that a lot of people believe are pretty good football teams. Throw Baltimore in there, that a lot of people think are pretty good football teams. That core group of and Kansas City, obviously, I put kind of in their own, because to me, I'm never going to call for them to come up short, because I don't think they're going to come up short. Right. They're the Patriots. Yeah. They are. So this other group of wannabe contenders, if you want to throw Cincy in there, whatever that group of handful, half dozen teams is, give me one of those teams that you think is every bit going to live up to the hype and is going to be a legit Final Four team. And give me one of those teams that you think, maybe the hype has gotten ahead of the reality a little bit.
So I would put Detroit in that mix. I just think the way they built...
In which mix?
In the, they're going to be every bit as good as the hype.
Okay.
I think...
Jared Goff.
I know. And that's the one...
His name is Jagoff.
Do you know 15 of their 17 games in the regular season are being played in domes this year?
That's good for golf.
Yes. So, like, that's just something I can't overlook.
Look at you prepping for the season. I didn't even tell him we were doing this.
So that is, to me, like, you know, one of his biggest concerns when you talk about Jared Goff is him playing outside in the cold. Not going to have to do that very often. And I think with the kind of team he has around him, that they're probably going to end up battling, if not the one seed, the two seed. So that means you're home until at least the NFC Championship game. I actually have them, as I did the projections, as the home team in the NFC Championship game. So you're playing indoors the entire time. And I just think... they're sort of built to win now. They've done a great job building.
Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, path to success?
100%. So I just think there's enough pieces
there. Dan Campbell, coach of the year.
DJ Reader was a really under-the-radar signing, and I know he just came off the PUP like a week ago, but he's like ask anybody who tried to block him in Cincinnati. When he's on the field, he's hard to block. So they just add him to the middle of that defense.
Buy into the Lions. Danny Ventura will be very happy.
I do. And I also buy into Baltimore, because I am a huge believer in Lamar's talent. And even though he has come up short in the postseason, which is the narrative, right? He's got to defeat that. And last year, they should have beaten the Chiefs had he played a representative game, had Zay Flowers not fumbled the football, had he not thrown the interception in the end zone. I just feel like his talent's so good, and Harbaugh is a good enough coach that eventually he's going to break through.
Right.
So I put them in that same mix of, like, I have Baltimore versus Detroit in the Super Bowl, just for those wondering.
Okay, credibility purposes. I do want to throw in there, because I think, physically speaking, the mesh point of Lamar and Derrick Henry mm-hmm. on, like, a read option, zone read, something like that, might be the most challenging in the history of the game. And I'm not exaggerating.
Can I just tell you? So we did on my podcast, the All 32 podcast. We did our preview yesterday, and I brought up that point, and I said, I remember the Patriots team that went in there 8-0, right, and got smacked I think it was a Sunday night.
Yep.
One of the things that jumped out to me about that game in particular was Patriots defenders were so locked into Lamar keeping the ball and the way he handled the ball, that there were many times where he put the ball in the belly of Mark Ingram, and Mark Ingram was at the linebacker level before the linebackers and anyone else realized he had the football.
Right.
So Mark Ingram was a really good football player. Derrick Henry might be on the back nine of his career, but, like, at 6'4", 240 pounds, he keeps himself in phenomenal shape. He might have some wide-ass open running lanes. And, like, okay, good luck to the nickel corner or the safety who has to come up and try to tackle him when now he has a full head of steam.
Yeah, I really do think that right there, because you're right. Is he as good as he once was? No, but he might be in the best place to not be as good as he once was, working with Lamar and the opportunities that's going to afford him, other than Mike Vrabel just handing it to him and saying, run up the middle.
He's still had over 1,000 yards, and people say, well, he wasn't the same player. Their offensive line the last 2 years has been absolute dog crap.
Right.
This is not a dog crap line.
So let's flip it, now go the other way. One of those core contending teams that you're not necessarily buying into or believing.
So I'm having a little bit of a problem right now with Cincinnati, because I just think it's been a
upset alert.
Well, it's been an odd offseason for them, right? Their best defensive player is Trey Hendrickson. He hates his contract. He sat out for a while. He came back because they basically told him we're not doing anything about it, and he can't afford to miss game checks. But how happy are you going to be? T. Higgins is playing in a franchise deal. Everyone expects he won't be there next year, that they won't pay him.
He'll be here.
And Jamar. Well, perhaps.
Part of the Indy Hart plan. You can read about it.
And
online.
So then I wonder about a guy like that who has a history of, like, soft tissue stuff, saying, you know what? My hammy's a little sore today. My quad's a little sore. I don't want to go out there and be 65% or 70% against a good corner, look bad, and then that cost me dollars in the end. And then, of course, Jamar. Hey, he's going to play. And then he shows up the next day back in shorts and a T-shirt and is like, I never said that. That didn't come out of my mouth.
And Zach Taylor pulled a Gerard Mayo and reversed it a little bit.
Yeah, he did. He said, I got ahead of myself there. So, you know, like, does he play this week? Does he sit out? I mean, it's crazy now that after 3 years, he's already demanding an extension, which can't kick in until 2 years from now. But, like, that's where we're at. If he wants more money than Justin Jefferson, I don't know.
Okay, so I have this little theme I've been thinking about that I believe this could be the year of the running back in the National Football League, maybe as much as ever. We saw the offseason of a little bit of value brought back to those guys. We saw some carousel of we just talked about Derrick Henry. Josh Jacobs goes to the Packers. Saquon goes to the Eagles, which I still think a lot of people don't realize he's on the Eagles. And right. That's why he's my pick for Offensive Player of the Year, because I think in that offense, potentially, there's opportunities for him. Because I also think you just referenced Jamar Chase and T. Higgins in weird spots. CeeDee Lamb sat out most of the summer. Brandon Ayuk sat out most of the summer. I believe all of those guys, at least one of them, will pull a hammy and miss 6 100%. Weeks. Maybe more than one of them, because I still think it's hard to just show up and play NFL football. And I think if you look at history, there's a lot of examples of those guys having down years after off seasons like this. Do you think there is a chance, and here even, I'd say Ramondre Stevenson is different level, but in the mix to be the best player on this football team. Mm-hmm. Bijan Robinson in Atlanta now has a quarterback to pair with the weapons. I feel like he could be a breakout candidate. These guys that, Christian McCaffrey, if he doesn't get hurt, is still living the life of the centerpiece of that great offense. Is that a theme you think? Because we all fixate on quarterbacks, and that's for good reason. It's the hardest, most important position. Anything to my idea that the year of the running back 2024?
Well, because it's funny, and you mentioned the contract part of it. We got to a point where the money got so dumb on them that it was like, wait a minute. Saquon Barkley's too good of a player to not pay him $12 million a year or whatever the guarantee was there.
I'm paying receivers 36, and I can't pay him.
Yeah, for 3 years, I can't give him $26 million guaranteed or whatever it was.
Right.
Like, yeah. I like that idea, and especially for Saquon and Philly. Just because of...
Everybody's got a comment
quiet,
here.
Quiet.
That was Andrew Callahan of the Boston Herald.
Oh, his podcast sucks. So I could see him having a massive year in that system, you know, with Hurts, with the idea of the run-pass option, and obviously having the two weapons that they have outside. Like, that's a scary team offensively when they're clicking. Now you added a real game-breaking type running back. So, yeah, I can totally see that the running back. I mean, clearly here, they want to be a run-first football team.
Yep.
Which should mean a heavy dose of Ramondre. I mean, was it Chubb, I think, had in his last season before getting hurt last year, I think he had 320 carries. So I don't know they'll go that high with Ramondre, but
no
I think...
No chance he lasts that.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm feeding him the ball that much.
Yeah, he won't make it. It'll be Antonio Gibson and frickin' Jermichael Hennig. My guy Harris will be coming off the practice squad. Okay, we want to end with some optimism. So we know you have them with 5 wins, which in this day and age is semi-optimistic, actually, as to what's going on out there. Give me a couple guys that you think, and beyond the obvious ones. Like, obviously the hope is Drake May plays and Drake May's exciting. Jalen Polk plays, Jalen Polk's exciting. Gonzalez answers some of the questions and he heads into year 3 as a legit reason to believe he's a number one corner. Give me a couple optimistic names for Patriots players that fans will be like, kind of like him. He's added himself to the core mix.
Do I dare try to pronounce Ox's name?
Just call him Ox. That's what Jonathan Jones called him on the radio. He's a fan now. Yeah. Everybody's getting, fan favorite.
I've talked to a few people who in the organization who's like, you know, there's a little something there. And obviously with Judon not being a part of the equation, someone's got to eat some of those snaps, and maybe he's the guy who gets to eat some of those third down snaps. And Keon White is something we've talked about.
Yep.
It. I'm just kind of excited to see him get I think he's going to get a ton of snaps, and I want to see if he can just unleash that inner demon.
Anger.
That he has. Yeah, he's
mean SOB.
He's a bad man. He spent all summer working on sort of like some finesse moves because he knows his power works. So it was all about trying to finesse stuff. We'll see if that plays. So I'm excited to see him. He's one of my favorite guys on the team. You just talk to him, and he doesn't pull any punches. Very direct, very open, and I appreciate that. And I'll give you one that I have major questions about, but I'm going to be watching him because he's getting treated as if he's done a lot in this league already, and that's Marcus Jones. Marcus Jones is, like, unquestioned the nickel corner. When we last saw Marcus Jones playing cornerback for this football team 2 summers ago and into the preseason and then into the regular season before he got hurt quickly, he wasn't good.
Correct.
I'm talking bad. But they invested this pick in him and they think the athleticism. And I feel like we've had sort of the same summer where it wasn't bad, but he was hurt a lot. I have no idea what kind of player he is. He might just be a punt returner / kick returner and maybe someone that you design something for him on offense to get him a bump screen or two. But, like, as a corner, I don't know, but they're clearly counting on him. So he'll get a lot of my focus.
And finally, real quick, prediction for week one, score.
I hate week one games. I think they're the hardest thing to predict.
You can't have week two without week one.
I understand. I will take Cincinnati, but I say it's close. I say they cover.
Closer than the experts think?
Yeah. How about 23-17?
23-17, 5 wins. That's a semi-optimistic Mike Giardi. This is Six Rings and Football Things, beginning our weekly beat writer chats here at Gillette Stadium. It's game week. The season is underway. Thursday night football. Football's back, baby. Six Rings and Football Things, there for it all.